What I'd like you to do, first of all, will you give me your full title and name, please?
Yeah, so I'm Flight Lieutenant Howard Fielder, and I'm an engineer instructor here at RAF Coningsby, RAF Cosford, rather, sorry. And I teach engineer officers how to be engineers. So these are our engineer managers, the middle managers within the Air Force who provide that. They come in usually as graduates, straight from university, and within a few weeks of joining the Air Force, they're in charge of 100, 200 people. So I provide that management and specialist knowledge before they go out there and manage these engineers.
I was having a lovely chat with Paul Campbell earlier, and we were talking about the Jaguars, and obviously the Jaguars are now have been decommissioned, and you've got Tornadoes, you've got obviously the Eurofighter Typhoon, which is a sensational piece of aircraft. But we also talked about Chinooks, and I was saying to him that I think that the one thing about the Chinook is wherever you hear it coming from anywhere, it gives you a sense of reassurance, of security, of safety, of, in a sense, it's almost like a warmth that comes in the air towards you. Now, you explain a little bit about what you were saying about Chinooks yourself.
Well, yeah, I'm a helicopters man. I haven't worked on fast jets, and you get that sense of presence with a fast jet, of course you do, and that people talk about the sound of freedom and all those sort of things quite glibly, but with a helicopter, yeah, you get that sound, and with the Chinook, you really can hear it from miles off, and it's instantly recognisable.
It's a slap of sound.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, I'm not going to try and imitate it. I would embarrass myself, but no.
It is totally unique, isn't
it? Yeah, it is absolutely unique. And you know, it's incredible, actually, that an aircraft type can be instantly recognisable from 10, 15 miles away.
Like the Merlin engine of a Spitfire.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. But for me, it's quite personal because I've served with helicopters, the Merlin helicopters, not the Chinooks. But the Chinooks, when I was out in Afghanistan, were on the flight line next to me. And so I'd sit out there on a warm evening out in Afghanistan and watch these medical emergency recovery teams. And they would shoot off out to the green zone to pick up one of our troops who'd been involved in potentially an improvised explosive device attack, or maybe they got a gunshot wound. And these Chinooks, they would go so fast. I mean, the guys would, the thing would be taking off within a minute of getting the shout. And they wouldn't muck about. So the blades would be turning within seconds. They would take off and point themselves directly in.
Just one question about the blades. Do they both get rotation clockwise direction?
No, they have to go in opposite directions to each other.
That was interesting, because when I've seen Chinooks in the air, I often wondered whether they were actually both going in, and I thought, no, they're not.
So they've got to be in sync with each other, firstly. So they are absolutely connected with a single drive shaft. So both engines of a Chinook drive both main rotor heads, and they are meshed, they are linked. And they've got to be, because if one was doing a different thing to the other, they'd just slap straight into each other, because the blades interlink and intermesh. So they counter-rotate as well. And that's quite useful, actually. Most helicopters have a tail rotor, and the tail rotor stops the torque reaction. So,
but you don't have that with a Chinook anyway, you just have the two top blades.
Exactly. So the two top blades, that torque reaction cancels themselves out. That makes a Chinook incredibly versatile, because it doesn't have a tail rotor.
I mean, they are incredibly agile as well, aren't they, for a big air helicopter. I mean, when you've seen them flying here at RAF Cosford Air Show, for example, you think, come on, you guys, you don't think you ought to be doing that, surely?
Well, exactly. You look at it, and you look at how the sort of angles they get the fuselage at. It's just incredible. Now,
they've not actually looped the loop of the Chinook, have they?
I can't comment on that. I don't know.
You wouldn't know, but what I'm saying is they get pretty close to it, don't they?
Yeah, they certainly get pretty close to it. I wouldn't be surprised if someone told me that they had, but I wouldn't know that myself. With a Chinook, you see, we have what's called the standard configuration helicopter with one main rotor head and one tail rotor hub. And then the Chinook is almost treated as a specialist, a tandem, which is a specialist type helicopter. But for me, a Chinook is the solution, and everything else falls beneath it. Because a Chinook, it's so versatile. Quite often the answer to any question in the aviation industry is the answer is two Chinooks and an Apache.
Who makes them?
So it's Boeing. Mm. Yeah. And Boeing still supply the support to them today. So our support solution for our Chinooks is through Boeing, yeah.
What helicopters have we got in the RAF these days?
Well, Frontline helicopters, we've got Puma and Chinook. So the Puma 2, Puma went through an upgrade program two or three years ago now, and we've got Puma 2. We've got a number of different marks of Chinook.
It's a fighter helicopter, I suppose, with a Puma?
No, Puma's still a support helicopter. So both Chinook and Puma are both support helicopters. So they have a number of different roles, so you can role fit them for different roles. But that all comes under the heading of support helicopter. And then we recently gave the Merlin Mark III helicopters to the Commando Helicopter Force. They were part of the RAF. Still part of Joint Helicopter Command. So all the helicopters we've been talking about here are under one command, a joint helicopter command with the Army and the Navy. So whilst they may not be part of the Royal Air Force anymore, they're still part of that joint effort.
Absolutely. One thing I wanted to talk to you about, which I think is very important, we have an initiative called STEM, and STEM is very much about sort of bringing the RAF engineering ethos to young people in schools around the country, anywhere in the country, basically. And also we have a unit here, or a section here, which includes things like RAF Fylingdales and a whole lot of different demonstrations here as well. You're the man and your team behind getting this together. Just explain the initiative.
Okay, so I feel that being an engineer is incredibly rewarding as a job. It's well paid. Okay, that's one side of things, but it's also incredibly rewarding. You get so much out of it. Ultimately, as an engineer, you're either designing, physically creating things, you might be operating a piece of equipment, you might be maintaining it, but you've got a physical item there which you're trying to either design, create, or you're trying to maintain. And the reward that you get out of that is incredible. And what we want to try and do is get that message across to young people and say, look, come into a really rewarding profession which provides you with a lifelong of a career where you don't have to work a single day because you're enjoying yourself every day, and also get, you know, a good stable job out of it at the same time. Getting that message across to young people is the challenge, because engineering has been seen as a very sort of geeky subject. It's seen as a subject which has certain qualities which aren't always true. For instance, okay, quite often as an engineer you have to be good at maths, but also designing something requires a lot of creativity, and there's fewer than 9% of women in the engineering industry at the moment, and we need creative people, and
you want more women in those sort of roles.
Exactly. We need to broaden and be more diverse with the people in those roles and bring in more ideas, because engineering is about innovation, it's about ideas, it's about being creative. It's not just about being good with a calculator, it's and other things. It's actually incredibly creative endeavor. So we're trying to get that across to schools and also show how much fun it is, because it is genuinely fun. So a lot of the activities we take out to schools are just that. So for instance, we have a rocket cars activity where students literally all they do is they build a car out of Kinex, similar to Lego, and then they get to attach it to a rocket and pneumatically fire it across the gym floor. And I've had children before. We don't talk about the RAF, we don't talk about STEM, and we just do this activity with them. And they go running out the room saying, I want to be an engineer, I want to join the Air Force, because they've had so much fun. And we're not lying to them or anything like that. The what we're doing in there is just as enjoyable as the job that we're doing in the real Air Force and in other engineering organisations as well, such as Leonardo and Airbus and others. So we're also, on that note, we're not about recruitment. It's we're trying to reach out to primary schools and year 7, 8 and 9 students. That's our core with STEM, because we want those guys to really feel strongly about becoming engineers before they've even taken their GCSE choices. So that's the sort of target audience we're actually going out to schools with. And it's very much a joint effort. I'll go out to a school with the Navy, I'll go out to the school with Leonardo, I'll go out to the school with the RAF Museum. So it's not about recruitment, it's about making them aware that it's a real a rewarding endeavour to become an engineer. And trying to inform them about some of the skills they need, both soft skills such as leadership and working with people and being able to talk to people, communicate, but also some of the more technical skills that are quite useful as well, such as, you know, being able to design, draw, be creative, that side of things. Now, what we're trying to do today is we're launching the Innovation Hub and get some of these messages across. And I think the most important thing for young people is to give them an experience that they remember. So the Innovation Hub is all about having a one-day experience where schools come in, a small group of school children in a class, say, and they come in and they have one experience. It's coordinated. It's not just a series of stands. It's not a series of activities that don't link up. It is a day's activity which really inspires people. And it links in with the curriculum as well. So there's a real reason for them to be there as well from a school's perspective. But they have an experience, something they can remember. And I think us as adults can all remember back to a particular experience as a child when we really had a light bulb moment. For instance, I was speaking to a gentleman the other day who said he remembered putting a balloon into space, and all it was a lantern. It was a lantern with a paraffin flame underneath it, and it went up and up and up, and he remembered that, and he thought, I really want to do this when I'm older. We do activities now where we put weather balloons with live video feeds up to 37,000 meters. So, you know, this is the edge of space is 100,000 meters. So, and when you're up at 37,000 meters, it's very much black up, blue down. It feels like space. The Innovation Hub is going to be a one-day experience where we can give the students that sort of experience over the course of a day, and they can go away. They're going to have access, you know, through all the sort of digital mediums, such as an app, through websites and all that sort of stuff, to link back to that experience. But they'll remember that experience. And through that digital space, we can then give them information about skills that they need, about qualifications, and about the careers themselves. But ultimately, on the day, it's about really selling that experience. We've been talking with the Royal Aeronautical Society as well about potentially having a builder plane in there. So, you know, a school child can go home and tell their parents, and the parents can say, what did you do at school today? And they can say, I built a plane. Exactly. So we have a light aircraft next door, which has been built by school children, and we're going to hopefully have that here as well.
And that is actually in the hangar here, RAF Crossford.
That's in the Innovation Hub today, exactly. Yeah.
But what he was saying is that all that we're seeing in both these hangars is basically accessible through the initiative that you're actually offering to take into schools and spend time with kids and students and teachers in schools anywhere in the country.
Yeah, so we're really keen to broaden our horizons with schools and teachers. And every RAF station has a STEM coordinator. We're really trying to push STEM as much as we can. In fact, I gave birth to this project called Kickstart, where all engineers coming through the Home of Engineering here at Cosford become STEM ambassadors. So I teach those engineer officers I was talking about earlier, and I send them out into the world from here as an engine instructor. And what I'm doing is I'm giving them the skills to go out to a school to engage with young children. They get the DBS checks, they get the skills, and they also, most importantly, get the equipment to be able to go out to a school and deliver a STEM session to try and infuse these people. That's called Project Kickstart, and something that I put together late last year. So every engineer officer who's out there in the Air Force, across sites in Scotland, in Norfolk, over in Lincolnshire, down in Somerset, have all got access to equipment, have got the skills and the DBS checks to go out to a school and do this stuff straight away. And what we're trying to do is make STEM part of what we do in the Air Force.
How will people find out about this? Website?
Okay, so at the moment we have a website on the RAF Cosford website. You can get involved through the RAF website. You just have to search for RAF STEM. We have a Twitter presence, STEM RAF Cosford. So just look us up across the place. Just search for RAF STEM and you'll find a whole load. We've got partner websites with a company called Tablet Academy, with some of the projects we're running. We have other spaces with the RAF Museum. We've got so many projects, it's hard to keep track of them sometimes.
That sounds like a familiar sound to me.
That sounds like 9 Hawk aircraft of the RAF aerobatics team.
We talked about a Spitfire Merlin, we talked about Chinooks, but that is a bit special as well, isn't it?
That's absolutely very special, yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why most of the people are here today. And I can see at the moment that whilst we've got some incredible exhibits here in the space hangar, the space hangar is unfortunately emptying as we speak.
It hasn't been empty all day, though. It's going to be very busy. But can I wish you all the very best for the project? But clearly, all you were saying, just remind us about the website contact details.
Okay, so just Google search for RAF Cosford or RAF STEM, and you'll find lots of material about us. Yeah.
And they'll be hearing you on Twitter with this as well.
Absolutely. So it's STEM_RAF_COS. So that's the RAF Cosford STEM account.
Thank you kindly.
That's a pleasure.